welcome one and all to one of the last shows before the big old holiday break of just a couple days. I'm John Arola. It's a Friday show, which means we've got Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going?
Oh, it's so great. I'm so happy. My friend John's going to play games with us tonight.
That's on Game Busters. Where are we going to be playing and who are we going to be playing with?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, you know what we're playing, right? You said we were playing Fortnite.
I said Fartnite to John. I'm really excited. I want to do that. Wife, what are we doing? Is she in the chat? We had this discussion and just forgot about it.
It's not like
she says.
Have to like read the tea leaves. Let's do Fortnite
and sabotages and all that stuff. We'll have a great time. It's the final Friday of programming for TYT for the year 2021. Notwithstanding what will probably be an awesome New Year's Eve celebration where we drink and do power hour with amazing moments through the year. There's some great surprises in store for New Year's, but this is the final Game Busters officially scheduled for the year. So come on in. Help Brooke meet her subscriber thresholds for bonuses.
Yeah, there's a threshold for bonuses, and then there's a lower threshold for getting yeeted out. So yeah, let's see which. Yeah. Exciting.
Let's yeet the players. Don't eat the players, eat the game, or something like that.
Oh, that should be the tagline for the show. Yes, we should definitely play that. And look, you know, if you wanted to also end with the murder mystery trivia thing in Jackbox, I mean, I'm not gonna stop.
I love it. Let's do it. We'll do some Fortnite and then we'll do Jackbox murder mystery trivia. I'll have an opportunity to actually download the right game this time so we can play murder mystery too.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, everybody, that's all coming up later on today. And also, I'll be joining Cenk and I believe Farron Cousins in the first hour of the Young Turks. So lots to look forward to, indisputables going up, all that. But we also have 90 minutes of awesome news that we're gonna be going into, a little bit of holiday news. We're gonna play a little game I like to call which is more anti-Semitic. So that's gonna be fun. We've got a couple instances of that. We're gonna be throwing away some garbage, people. So lots of fun stuff coming. So don't go anywhere. Hit the like button, share the stream, all that stuff. We're gonna start off before we jump into the actual rundown though. Extraordinary breaking news. Justin knew, the tweet would say. We're getting an update on the Kellogg strike. Kellogg's apparently has reached a tentative agreement with its 1400 striking cereal plant workers. Now that demonstrates a few different things. First of all, that we got them. Okay, we started our strike and we have apparently defeated Kellogg's. Also, it proves that Bart was wrong when he decided to leave Pop-Tarts all over the studio to mock my protest against Kellogg's. And he was putting up messages like resistance is futile. Apparently not Bart, because they got the tentative deal. But I do have one other point. So can I eat these, or do I have to wait until the deal is fully finalized? I mean, they've reached a tentative agreement. Is that good enough?
I think regardless of what the audience would think of you, I worry for what you would think of you after you finish the Pop-Tart. Should this
fall apart,
dissolve, and you're covered in like berry goo and like frosting sprinkle.
Yeah,
so I think you should probably and will probably hold off for a while.
Well, really fast, let me give you a little bit of the details. And again, tentative agreement. They've been striking since October 5th. Okay, they hired on temporary workers. Kellogg's did. Then they were like, you know what? We offered you a deal and you didn't want it. So now we're gonna fire all of you and replace you. And the worker was like, no, we're gonna hold strong. Okay, so new offer includes cost of living adjustments and a $1.10 per hour raise for all employees. So on Sunday, they're going to be voting on this deal, by the way. Last week, they'd rejected a previous offer that included 3% raises, but only some employees would have received cost of living adjustments. Apparently, that hasn't been made universal. The results of the contract vote are expected to be released Tuesday. So I'll wait until Tuesday. about that. Okay.
Wait until Tuesday.
This is more good union news. Look at this.
I love
it. They're coming together and they're doing it despite, like, they get a little bit of media attention. Like, it's good. CBS News is doing this report on the update or whatever, but like, I don't know. The media doesn't really care. It's never gonna dominate a day of news, you know, when one of these months-long strikes finally happens. But anyway, good job to the workers. I'm sure it's been difficult striking for a couple of months, and I'm glad that you did it. It's gonna be inspiring.
It is good to have this kind of news in the news, because for, I want to say, 10 straight years, the news about unions in America was only news about eliminating collective bargaining states.
Yep.
And hobbling their entire capability to do anything. The only places where unions felt strong anymore were actually like, and old places like Amazon or Alabama used to have a strong teachers union, but like literally the one person in charge of it, who was dubbed the 800-pound gorilla of Alabama politics, died. And so that was gone. Like, it's, you're hobbled. But it's good to see this. And the reason is because there have been some really good organizations out there getting on the ground and going to these strikes and putting together small, shareable, easy to understand documentaries where the workers tell you what they're going through.
Yeah.
And that's it. And when you talk about what can help get the narrative out there for a mainstream media organization, you have people that work there that are generally for it. You got people that work there who are in them at these major media organizations. It's also, you have to fight against the laziness where they're just like, I don't have sound because I'd have to go down there. And now that sound, and sound is just like a clip to play, that sound is ready for them and they have it.
Easier
and
they have it. Yeah, 100%. By the way, some people in the chat are saying, hey, you bought Scab Pop-Tarts. I didn't buy these. These have been used as a form of psychological warfare against me by Bart. I didn't buy them though, just to be clear. Anyway, with that, let's jump into very different news, launching into this video.
A long period where people quit saying Merry Christmas, it's all Happy Holidays. You deliberately changed that. Openly said, Merry Christmas, we're gonna say it again.
I wanna be very clear, we didn't add that music. They added that music, but that is Mike Huckabee. I guess technically you're supposed to say he's interviewing Donald Trump, but that's a fairly neutral word, but it's at least in the neighborhood of something that could be confrontational or critical. And this very much was not that. It was more of like an auditory massage of the president, really. But there they're talking about Donald Trump being the one who pushed for people to say Merry Christmas again. And you may not know this, but nobody says Happy Holidays anymore. They all say Merry Christmas, and they did it because of the shining example of Donald Trump, apparently. Anyway, Donald Trump is gonna expound on this in this clip.
Openly said, Merry Christmas, we're gonna say it again.
In fact, it was part of my campaign. The country had started with this woke, I guess, a little bit before that.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing for stores to say Merry Christmas. You'd see these big chains. They want your money, but they don't want to say Merry Christmas. And they'd use reds and they'd use whites and snow, but they wouldn't say Christmas. And when I started campaigning, this was in 2015. When I started campaigning, I said, you're going to say Merry Christmas again. And now people are saying it. Of course, they're not saying a lot of other things like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. You know, those names are being obliterated because of craziness. But they are saying Merry Christmas again. We got that. That was a big part of what I was doing. And so I would say it all the time during that period, that we want them to say Merry Christmas. Don't shop at stores that don't say Merry Christmas. And I'll tell you, we brought it back very quickly.
Brett.
Okay, it is, first of all, he's wrong. People have always already everywhere in America said Merry Christmas. This is this is genuine fake news. He's talking about malls. In those malls, there have always been Santa Clauses. There have always been giant Christmas trees. NBC, liberal news, Rockefeller Center has always had a Christmas tree. So it's false, it's fake, it's stupid, it's culture war nonsense, it's wildly boring. Mm-hmm. Well, that said,
both sides are fake. We've always said Merry Christmas and still do. I am an atheist and I still say it sometimes, but I also say Happy Holidays, which people have always said, including Christians. So yes, the whole thing is entirely made up. And his delivery there, you have to admit, while he sometimes, look, the position he's holding is crazy and insane and fake. And he sometimes says things that really stand out. He just rambled on and on. Like, imagine sitting and looking at him and just being like, dude, you delivered the narrative. Let's move on to the next thing, but you're still talking about this BS.
It's so great too, because it's like when you go, you had a relationship and then you break up and you haven't really talked to or seen your ex. And then you see them and you're like, oh my God, I lived with this for way too long. I can't, it just punches you in the face. Like, they really were that bad. I'm glad I snapped out of it. It's like the inane, stupid ramblings you don't have to put up with anymore. Unless you watch Newsmax and Mike Huckabee. He has at the bottom too, if you want to watch these videos later, just read the scroll. They are just like copy paste, lazy culture war, stupidity and nonsense. It's amazing.
Look at this ridiculous reasonableness in the chat with Brooke Marks saying, also people say Happy Holidays to include both Christmas and New Year's. So like, chill dudes. They're stupid, lying fakers. That's what they are. So they have to pretend. By the way, I love, one of my favorite things about Donald Trump's stream of consciousness is how he like will inadvertently directly undercut the entire point that he's trying to make. So his whole point there is that this fake war exists to try to get people to say Merry Christmas and how nobody would. And he caused them to. And how did he do it? He just asked them to. So he went to his rallies and told people who already agreed with him to say Merry Christmas, and they already did. And that somehow changed the country. Okay, well, let's say we accept that. But he then wants to make a random point about cancel culture and racism. So he says, even though they won't say George Washington, they're not saying Abraham Lincoln. First of all, let's see a citation on that. But then, so then why wasn't your influence enough to reverse that? I mean, you changed the course of a nation on the Christmas thing. So it doesn't even make any sense.
It's so stupid also, but like their argument is that critical race theory is trying to get rid of talking about our founding fathers. It's like, no, it is trying to get us to talk about our founding fathers.
Yes.
100%, so yes. Challenge accepted. Let's chat about Thomas Jefferson.
Let's do it.
Let's chat about that part on the Monticello tour where they're like, you see that nook up there? That's where he kept his sex slave behind that wall.
Yeah.
Let's do that. But he invented the dumbwaiter. Cool.
That is cool. I do like that.
Super cool. So we wouldn't have to see slaves.
Okay, well, that part's not cool. Thanks. Anyway, so I almost did a thing. So they're asserting that people didn't used to feel comfortable saying Merry Christmas, and now they do. And so I literally started opening up tabs and searching for Pew polling, Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. Okay, 2013. Okay, I've got 2018. And I thought, no, I'm not actually doing this because it's made up. It didn't change. There's no reason to believe that they altered it. And I saw, anecdotally, I saw information, the percentage who prefer one to the other has been the same for literally decades. It literally doesn't mean anything. So I'm not doing that research. I'm taking a stand. That's a line I'm not gonna cross. Anyway, I am curious about you though. Okay, so we decided, while we're not finding out what the MAGA movement thinks of this, what do you prefer as a greeting in December? Okay, go to tyt.com/polls. We've got a few options for you. So Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. So those are the two big titans in this fight. For my Potterheads, I decided to throw in Happy Christmas. And then I don't give a Christmas cracker. So if you don't care and it doesn't matter to you, except maybe you, like me, might have sort of this lingering idea that like, while I don't necessarily care, when they insist it be Merry Christmas, it's definitely intended to leave out other people.
Yeah.
So that sort of pushes me towards the Happy Holidays. Like, I would have been fine with your Merry Christmas. I mean, I do Christmas, but you're clearly being an a-hole about this.
It is so that all said, it is psychotic to say Merry Christmas to randos on December, what happened to me yesterday, December 16th.
Yeah, it's not
Christmas. It's just so weird to be like, it's not Christmas. Merry Christmas. to somebody you don't know if they celebrate it or not. It's just it's like when you have a conversation and you say to someone like, you know, I bet your mom probably, you know how your mom does blah, blah, blah. And their mom might have died in a tragic accident or a murder. And you're just like, I'm not gonna bring this up because I don't want it to get weird. Like that should be the prevailing sentiment for most people. Not to be like,
it's also weird to be a colonist by just assuming. No, you will do this thing that I do. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's so funny. Cause I do like the like calculation that I do afterwards. Like, did they think I was like, were they like, this person seems Christian? Probably. Or were they like, oh, I just say Merry Christmas because it's that season? Or are they like, well, I'm gonna make sure everyone knows it's Christmas. Yeah, go for it.
Do you want some evidence about this? Sir. Okay. Mike Huckabee and Donald Trump assert a few other crazy things about Christmas time, how Christmases have gone under the Trump administration, and who this is really about. So let's jump into this next video.
You really did, and I think a lot of people appreciated that it was a part of the American culture. It was a part of who we are. It wasn't to exclude anybody. It was just simply a celebration of what America does at Christmas.
And America and the world, but America loves Christmas.
Yeah.
And whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, everyone loves Christmas. And they'd say Merry Christmas until these crazy people came along and they wanted to stop it along with everything else.
Yeah, that's okay. This is, I guess they're trying to like give a little bit of backup to Ainsley Earhart for her thing about the Christmas tree. Yes, there are likely, I would assume, people of all religions who do some Christmassy stuff. You know why? Because a lot of that stuff had nothing to do with Christianity in the first place. And whatever it did have to do with Christianity has been gradually stripped away by the other thing you worship, which is capitalism, which is fine. It won. And so I eagerly celebrate Christmas having nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. And that version of Christmas might have some people who are Muslim or Jewish who are worshiping it, but you don't like that. You still want it to be the thing that it definitely isn't for you. They're pretending they want it to be religious. He definitely isn't thinking about Jesus on Christmas. But Brett, you're ostensibly Jewish. What do you think about the claim that this is equally important for every religion?
After long discussions at the Ehrlich household, we have landed on me saying either I'm Jewish or I'm Ashkenazi. Because I don't really like, while I did have a bris, which is arguably the toughest thing to go through, I was not bar mitzvahed. And I have gone to like two services, but many seders because they're the best.
Yeah, that's true. They are fun.
And you know, culturally grew up going to my grandmother's house and you know, lighting candles and finding matzah. Okay. So that said, it is insane for me to, or it is crazy for people to say that like this is inclusive of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is inclusive of it by saying Merry Christmas in any way, shape, or form. I think it's fascinating. I love Christmas in America. It is the full embodiment of Christmas because Christmas was like, hey, have three kings give you three gifts on your birthday because you literally are Jesus. It developed into like there was like Saint Nicholas who did nice things, and it incorporated like pagan tree traditions. It looped that in, and then it got to America, and America was like, well, we like that stuff. And what else is us buying stuff and selling stuff? And so it is, American Christmas is different. And it's also from a colonialist society. So it also, after importing Chris, bringing Christmas in and adapting it with like mercantile America, is now exporting it to all those places through its other like imperialist tool, which is marketing good and and media and music and culture. And so that is, we're cultural imperialists who try to use that as a way to get capitalism to be the thing you do when we, you know, either help you win a war or beat you in one and build up your society again. It is fascinating. And I'm sorry that I'm on this like long diatribe, but the takeaway is I'm literally 50% Ashkenazi and culturally Hebroid.
Yes, and that isn't good enough for them. Not your background. I'm saying the fact that Christmas has largely won culturally. They now want to pretend that that's, it's almost like invoking the deep state. It's like, oh sure, okay, we're in control of the government, but like there's some other thing that's against us. Okay, that's fine. One other crazy statement. This is my favorite kind of Trump crazy statement in that it doesn't actually harm us. It's just he takes something that he knows not to be true and tries to come up with the most ridiculous way to assert the exact opposite of it. Take a look at this.
How does the Trump family celebrate Christmas?
Well, different ways for different years. I mean, we had New York. Now we're in Florida. Florida's been a state that's treated me so well. And I still love New York. New York is incredible. Then I had the White House years and having Christmas at the White House and being even the environment. And Melania always did a fantastic job of fixing up the trees. And I mean, she did magnificent displays. And generally speaking, even from the super liberal press, got great reviews, which is shocking, okay? Because they didn't like giving us good reviews. And then we now spend it in Florida. And Christmas in Florida is very beautiful.
Okay, so really, look, obviously he knows that that's not true. They didn't love, like the only thing you can think of when you think of Melania and Christmas is the fact that she did this really weird thing with the red trees. And he is admitting that he knows that people didn't like it in coming up with the exact opposite thing to say. So that was, that's just, it's a bizarre thing. Who made those trees? But then, you know, like sometimes it was fine. Like if you go to this year, like let's take a look at this other year. That's mostly fine, although he's leaning forward like a weird person. And why are there so many trees in the same room? Why can't you have one nice tree? I don't understand it, but.
I just love that like the presents under the tree are ornaments. Like what happened? You guys should have harvested those before they fell to the ground. Now they're gonna go rotten.
They're gonna just rot. Yeah, and he was asked, how do you worship Christmas? And he just listed all the places he's lived. That's not how you worship. Are you with your family? Because it doesn't seem like they're really involved in this. You're just like, well, there was New York and then DC and then Florida's beautiful. Wait, right. But what do you do? Is your family there?
It just seemed revealed. It's like when you ask someone, there's an listen, I've watched And Just Like That for a long time. I believe women or you know, Sex and the City. There's an episode of Sex and the City where Clark Gregg is pretending to be a doctor and he seems like a doctor until Miranda like cuts her hand and he's like, oh, I hate blood. And then it comes out that he's pretending. That's what just happened there. Is like Trump's like, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. And then they're like, can you give us a concrete example of your enjoyment of loving Christmas? And he's like, I hate blood. I don't know. There's gifts and it's a bag of sand. Like that's basically it.
100%, yeah. Okay, buddy, that was a fun way to start off the show. We are gonna get a little bit serious though. We're gonna take a short break, come back, give you an update on a couple different legal cases after this. Okay, buddy, you ready to talk about some more news?
I'm so mad that disappeared.
Can someone scroll back and find out which I apparently said? Anyway, with that. We'll get back to it, but let's do some news. Okay. A judge has apparently ordered that the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News can proceed. And in their ruling, and it has revealed some really interesting information about potential legal arguments against Fox News. This is consequential, of course, because it's a $1.6 billion lawsuit that names current and former Fox personalities, including the biggest ones, basically. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Maria Bartiromo, Jeanine Pirro, Lou Dobbs, a whole bunch of them saying that they brought on people and knowingly spread false information about Dominion, defaming that corporation. Let me give you a little bit of information from the decision. Judge Eric Davis says Fox possessed countervailing evidence of election fraud from the DOJ, election experts, and Dominion at the time it had been making its statements. The fact that despite this evidence, Fox continued to publish its allegations against Dominion suggests Fox knew the allegations were probably false. And of course, you know, I'm not a defamation lawyer or anything like that, but having like the reasonable reason to believe what you're saying is true is a part of that. And they're saying that that information had been made available to them. They continued for literally months to spread this information. That seems like a pretty important part of a continuing defamation lawsuit, Brett.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you the two sides of my opinion about this. I'll tell you what I think of the fact that this is going on from a personal standpoint, and then also from a legal standpoint. Personally, I think this is amazing. I think it is so perfect that they're getting sued because they might, this group that is all like, you lie, that everybody out there is lying and we're telling the truth. They're getting called out for potentially having warped the truth. We got to go through all of this. We got to go through the legal prosecution, the legal battle before we figure out what exactly happened. But like this, the people who have absolutely warped truth in every way possible are going to maybe be held accountable for it to the tune of a gajillion dollars. And it's mainstream media, and they live and die by like what they can say that's horrible, that's still acceptable. Okay, I love the irony. I love the instant justice of it. Second, like this is just allowing the thing to proceed.
Yeah, that's all.
They're fighting, but I just mean they're fighting so hard. Throw it out. And then all their big fans are like, this is ridiculous and this is insane and the court system is rigged. And the answer is, well, you guys want to make the court system go away. You want to get rid of the rule of law and the adjudication, unless it's part of the judicial system that you've already rigged, that you want to change everything by using political appointments to do that. But I love this infighting between the two of them, the two sides of like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even though it sort of feels like, as in a lot of other things, like the Supreme Court isn't it gonna cut this down at the end? Well, we'll see.
If it's a defamation suit, this is not a. It depends on if it's criminal or civil. But like, if it's just like civil court, they're gonna have to pay a bunch of money. Done.
Maybe, probably not $1.6 billion though, but. Okay, let me read a little bit more from the decision. They said, when Fox guests spread or reiterated disinformation about Dominion, Fox did not use the information Dominion provided to correct its guests or to reorient its viewers. Instead, Fox and its personnel pressed their view that considerable evidence connected Dominion to an illegal election fraud conspiracy. Fox News, along with every single news organization across the country, this is Fox, vigorously covered the breaking news surrounding the unprecedented 2020 election, providing full context of every story with in-depth reporting and clear-cut analysis. I mean, that's in response to what the judge is saying, but isn't actually responding to what the judge is saying. You knew that there was reason to believe that what you were saying was not true, but you cravenly brought on other people to say it, knowing they would defame this corporation for the pleasure of your audience. That's what you did. And their own people did it as well. So really fast, let me run through just a few examples. So Maria Bartiromo brought on Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, in the immediate aftermath of the election to spread stuff that they knew was not true. Tucker Carlson had on Mike Lindell even after the inauguration to attack Dominion. This is months into it at this point. Now, was he having Mike Lindell on because he believed him, or was he having Mike Lindell on because MyPillow constituted literally 41% of all of the ads on his channel at that point? I don't know. Is it really weird and sleazy to bring on the guy that advertises on your network to spread lies that are convenient for that? That whole thing seems weird. Like, he's buying a spot on your show by advertising a pillow. Anyway, we'll see. There's still a long way to go, Brett. Do you have any final points on this?
I think that's like the peak, one of the peak hypocrisies of Tucker Carlson is one, very obviously he's a rich guy that pretends to be for poor people and has never actually done anything for poor people. Even in his criticisms of rich people, he makes weird statements like, this guy should be cleaning my pool. And like another one, like, they'll never sit next to you at a dinner party, he said recently, like yesterday.
Yeah, he can't help it.
He's just
his
that.
His lens.
This guy's trying to call out every other corrupt media organization on the planet when really like someone buys their way onto his show. It's like watching quiz show where the host goes, and now a word from, you know, Seagram's. And it's just very obvious what's happening. It's completely ironic. I don't want people to get the wrong impression and say that, listen, you should always parrot whatever a company tells you about their own product. You should definitely be cynical about that. But if Fox purports to be a news organization, they should at least present. I don't even need to say both sides, but at least try to focus on presenting the truth as opposed to just having people come on, give wildly false allegations and try to play both sides of the, I'm the only real reporter in town. And, you know, I also am advocating nakedly for the president's agenda. And sure. I'm just yes, entertainment.
You're under no obligation, obviously. You're under a reverse obligation to simply repackage whatever corporation says to you. But when it's really base level factual stuff, like you bring on people to say that Dominion overturned the entire election, and Dominion is like, we're in like a tiny fraction of these precincts. Oh, by the way, we're also in these areas where he won, and he won on our machines. And you literally won't even include that information as part of the analysis. Then that goes to potentially an intent to mislead and defame. By the way, one final thing, the judge referenced a previous strategy that Fox has used when there's been legal challenges, saying, although Fox classifies its reporters' remarks as commentary that used loose and hyperbolic rhetoric for entertainment value, even loose and hyperbolic language can be actionable if it rests on false statements of fact undisclosed to viewers.
Like, and it's
super
on
fast.
It's on Fox News, not Fox Entertainment. You can't say you're a police officer and do police officer things. Why can you say you're a news organization and only say you're not a news organization in a defense against a defamation or malpractice lawsuit?
Yes, and I would just love that at some point, some Fox viewer would see that their continual defense is, yeah, we just lie to our viewers and there's no reason they should believe it, but apparently some of them do. That should bother their viewers, but at least as of today, it does not. Okay, now with that, we do have to jump into an arguably even more. Oh, by the way, Smartmatic is also suing them for $2.7 billion. So there's a lot of these challenges going forward. But with that, we're gonna jump into other news. A judge has overturned the agreement that had been set up having to do with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma, saying that the individual members of the Sackler family who own the corporation cannot in fact be shielded from all legal challenges to them individually. So let's catch up a little bit on what this change is, why it's so important. This is US District Judge Colleen McMahon said that the controversial provision, which we will describe, to grant the Sackler family members immunity from thousands of lawsuits over the public health crisis of opioids is inconsistent with the US bankruptcy code, disagreeing with the court that it approved the approximately $4.5 billion agreement in the fall. Okay, so let's catch up a little bit. So how did we get to the agreement and what does this actually mean? Purdue Pharma back 2 years ago declared bankruptcy, and that stopped at least temporarily thousands of lawsuits against it. So 2 years later, a New York judge confirmed a plan that had been approved by a majority of creditors who voted. Purdue would be dissolved and would come back as a new company called Noah Pharma that would still produce OxyContin, but also other drugs. The company's profits would go to states and communities to fund opioid treatment and prevention efforts. As part of this new reformation of the company, the Sacklers would renounce their ownership, eventually sell their foreign pharmaceutical companies as well, and contribute $4.5 billion of their money to state and local opioid abatement funds. In exchange for all of that, all lawsuits pending against Purdue, as well as them individually, would be effectively barred in the future. They would be legally shielded as a result of the agreement that they had been a part of it. And as a weird extra addition, they wouldn't be able to use their name to future charitable gifts for 9 years. That's a weird thing. Anyway, now that deal might seem really harsh, $4.5 billion, the company is gonna be reformed and all that, but they already made tons of money. There are very good reasons to believe they knew what they were doing. The idea that only the corporation and not the individuals running it and profiting from it should face any legal liability for a crisis that has killed thousands and countless thousands of people was, I think, unacceptable to a lot of people. And in theory, we have to see what happens after this US district judge decision. This could open up a little bit of legal liability at the individual level in the future. And Brett, what do you think about this?
This is one of those very difficult to digest stories because, and I hate to say the word nuanced, but it is overturning the settlement that says, here's a bunch of money to pay for what we did wrong. There's a lot of specifics of like delivery of cash that has been changed along the, you know, and different complaints people are having as a result of this. Is it better in the long term for the Sackler family or like more just in the long term for them to pay this money now and be gone from the company or have to go back through the settlement process where they would pay potentially less now and open themselves up to future lawsuits going forward? I don't know. I don't know. And you're going to have to sift through all that. Is it better or worse for them? There's going to be a lot of people complaining about this that don't mean it. A lot of people not complaining about it who you should be skeptical of. So in the long term, I think what's happened with the like general opioid crisis is something like this. There were some really horrible, terrible, nefarious, money hungry acts by some people who pretended that this was a wonder drug that should replace a bunch of other things. In the wake of it, it ruined millions and millions of people's lives and ended millions of people, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people's lives. In the wake of it, we have a situation where the people who, you got a lot of people who are complaining about how they can't get it and they think that they really do need it, that are wrong for reasons such as it has tricked their body into thinking that it needs this. And then also, like on the other hand of it, you have people who actually do need these medications and it's difficult for them to go and get them. It's more difficult. The entire system, because of the acts, in my belief, of the Sackler family and similar weird, horrible pharmaceutical plays, resulted in so many people's lives getting absolutely ruined so that they can make an extra buck. And there's people right now in pain who need that medication who can't get it.
Yeah.
And there's other people who sound the exact same who've been turned into addicts. It is such a mess. And I feel so horrible for everyone in all parts of that equation.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, some people probably might be satisfied with the agreement and think that, you know, reopening up lawsuits and potentially putting on hold that agreement could mean that sure, more money will come, but it will be delayed. So it's certainly complex. And that's, by the way, the argument that Purdue is making. So they put out this statement, which is just the most corporate statement ever. While the district court decision does not affect Purdue's rock solid operational stability or its ability to produce its many medications safely and effectively, it will delay and perhaps end the ability of creditors, communities, and individuals to receive billions in value to abate the opioid crisis. That's again, no liability, no, we knew what we were doing and we did it because as Brett said, we wanted to make another buck even though we're literal billionaires already. Right. Imagine
that's the quote I was
killing
talking about.
People for money when you're a billionaire. You literally can't buy anything else. There's nothing else for you to buy. You're like, people killed 20 or 50,000 people this year. Absolute madness. By the way, they're worth about $11 billion. So there was a great, I think it was this last season on John Oliver. He did a great episode on the Sackler family. He's done several on the opioid crisis. And he talked about one of the reasons that people were frustrated with this agreement was that on the timeline that had been set out for them to give the money, they would actually be richer at the end of it than they had at the beginning, despite the $4.5 billion. Like, because they're individually shielded and it's corporate money, they're contributing a bit, but it's not even cutting into the money they'll be making during that time. Anyway, there's more details there if you want to find out about it, but he can describe some of the reason that some people were frustrated by this agreement. Any final thoughts?
No. You felt like I went over earlier and I just want to make it up to you.
Okay, buddy. Okay, by the way, your wife checked it. Apparently I did say, okay, buddy. Okay, buddy. So we're going to take a little break, see what's going on out there. And then we've got a couple instances of anti-Semitism that are just insane. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Anyway, we got a little bit more news to talk about. We got a cartoon for you. We got a video for you. So let's definitely try to get to all of this. Let's jump into it. Fox was forced to delete a cartoon that they'd posted on their Instagram. And we're going to show you the cartoon. And I want to see if you can figure out why they might have had to delete it. So here you'll see George Soros as a puppet master manipulating politicians. And then in the caption, Fox News literally calls him the puppet master. Is it the art style that they didn't like, Brett? Is it the exaggerating of the bags under his eyes? What was the problem that people had with this cartoon?
I think that it's when they like drew it, the person traced pretty much like line for line an anti-Semitic Nazi era puppet master cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It is insane, dude.
That is insane. I mean, I don't even want to speculate as to what they could have done to make it any more anti-Semitic, because there's not much that they could have done.
It's just like
a Jewish billionaire. He's the puppet master. That sounds good. So no nuts. Problems. No problems with this. Anybody? No, it's good. Okay, let's press publish. That is madness. People were liking it. It's got 16,000 likes. People like the anti-Semitism.
But defend Israel till the end.
Exactly.
You know, we love Jews, but just some of them. You know, some of you people. Like, it is just, it's, you can, if you are complaining that people are not saying the words Merry Christmas, and that is an unjust, evil, holy war on your folks, maybe you can wrap your mind around the idea that using the words puppet master and drawing, like that drawing, had a hat, a bigger nose, and horns basically in Nazi Germany. But like the hands like that, the looking down, the holding on, that is exactly it. If Fox News, a major media organization who harps on, they're not saying Merry Christmas and that is evil. If they're cool, just pretty much parroting those exact tropes line for line,
you gotta
recognize that you're being horrible if you don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like you gotta recognize how terrible you're being.
Especially if you pretend that on a regular basis, anti-Semitism aggrieves you, but you're cool with this and you press like on that. Well, look, it's not just Instagram. Now the ADL complained about that, I think reasonably. 45 minutes before the ADL put out their statement that eventually led to the cartoon being taken down, showing that this is not just an Instagram thing. Let's go to a little bit of what Fox News was saying about George Soros.
All it takes, Trace, is one disputed shooting, one disputed arrest. And excuse my language, all hell's gonna break loose. And all this is gonna be excused. And those liberal prosecutors are to go after the police. Police department, they know what's going on. And these individuals are being released because of left-leaning George Soros Democratic prosecutors.
They just chose one random donor to make the entire thing about, and he's the one that's controlling all these prosecutors and effectively the entire reform movement for our criminal justice system behind the shadows, the puppet master. Well, it didn't stop right there. That was before the ADL thing, but then we moved to after it. So let's go to Thursday on Fox and Friends.
Murders, which are up everywhere, and mainly most cops will tell you, focus on the DAs. And who put those DAs there? George Soros and his fund was out there to put liberal DAs and empty your prisons and not prosecute crime. I mean, China could not have, or Russia could not, or Iran could not have scripted a better formula to knock America down at its foundation. You don't have law and order, you don't have a calm country, and we don't have law and order.
Okay. So yeah, Brett, it's him. It's on the Instagram. It's just they're not satisfied to just be like, we disagree with how you want to reform the system. And they also never go so far as to say, I don't want billionaires influencing the system, so let's get money out of politics. They're not even trying to stop George Soros from doing this. They just want to use the boogeyman of George Soros to tarnish in their viewers' minds this entire process.
Listen, everyone described. In that everyone involved in that last clip, like in terms of prosecutors, decarceration, Fox News, nobody is being honest. The prosecutors who are like, take Los Angeles for example, you've got our prosecutor, George Gascon, who got in there and said, Jackie Lacey's evil, I'm gonna fix everything, has only let people out who go and commit more crimes, has not had any plan for getting them places where they can actually be rehabilitated, getting them into programs that care about victims, that keep people safe, that also deliver on a progressive vision of how to solve America's crime problem, over-incarceration problem, all of its problems. No one's being earnest. Everybody's being lazy. Everybody's pandering to what is politically expedient for them, especially Brett. Fox News.
Brett, I don't want to hear about everyone. I want one Jewish billionaire to hate. Which one Choose, but choose wisely.
So stupid. It's so stupid.
That's the answer to pretty much everything.
It's so stupid. It's so frustrating if you actually care about fixing these problems. Everyone in that debate is so frustrating if you actually care about solving the problems.
I agree. Okay. That, I think we can all agree that cartoon is very anti-Semitic. Donald Trump apparently appeared on a podcast, the Unholy Podcast, and he had this to say.
There's people in this country that are Jewish, no longer love Israel. I'll tell you, the evangelical Christians love Israel more than the Jews in this country. It used to be that Israel had absolute power over Congress, and today I think it's the exact opposite. And I think Obama and Biden did that. And yet in the election, they still get a lot of votes from Jewish people, which tells you that the Jewish people, and I've said this for a long time, the Jewish people in the United States either don't like Israel or don't care about Israel. I mean, you look at the New York Times hates Israel, hates them. And they're Jewish people that run the New York Times. I mean, the Sulzberger family.
I don't like it, Brett. Like the position he thinks he's into, like, first of all, just be like, yeah, no, they just controlled the entire US government. So it wasn't just George Soros. It was just American Jews generally, I suppose, just controlled everything. And now they don't anymore. And that's probably, but then he says it's like, it's Barack Obama's fault. Like, but you said it as if it was a bad, was that a good thing? I don't even know. But he definitely understands better than anyone else the political ideology and views of Jewish people in America.
Yeah, he says his idea, he just advocated for America to be run by another country.
Mm-hmm.
He said good things about an outside country having total control over Congress. That was his, that's the America he wants to make great again. He wants to go back to that. And that dynamic is psychotic. It's insane. Yeah. Should not be allowed. There should not be American policy.
Of like, you know, we evangelicals, we love Israel more than Jewish people in America. Well, first of all, like, why are you pretending, like you're implying that there's something wrong with them because they don't, in your view, love a different country. How bizarre is that?
And also, like,
they're American citizens. They can have whatever goddamn view they want of any country in the world.
And to say, he's basically saying, I can't believe Jews are so self-loathing. That means you don't know any. That means you don't know any. Like that's
you have immunity.
One of the things. But yeah, so as a 50% Ashkenaz, I can say those things. But the 100% true thing is that this guy is a great oversimplifier and a great egotist. And you saw those both at play. He says that like, that Israel, that an outside country should control America. That outside country, I'm never going to question any of their policies in any way possible. They're always right, no matter what they do. They're all one block. Like Israel is all one thing in one Israel place.
Politics is
he doesn't even thing. Know geographically. Yeah. Like, come on, dude. He doesn't understand the different regions of the country because he doesn't care. He's a great oversimplifier. And the egotist part is that he believes he's utterly right about that. And he said he's a better Jew than people who are actually Jewish.
Yep.
All of that is insanity.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So which is worse, that or the cartoon? Real fast.
Cartoon. Cartoons, you just can't do. Yeah, you just can't do that. You need to know better.
Yeah, you can't do a
the cartoons. I mean, worse than crazy. Criticizing Soros money, because that's a money and politics conversation if you're having it earnestly.
Yeah,
you're not. But that's better than the I am going to do swastika type stuff on my Instagram.
Exactly.
And yeah. Trump is the same kind of like, you know, stinky fart nose blindness thing that we've come accustomed to. So it just doesn't hit the same as it did early in his original.
That's true. Okay, everybody. Well, that is the end of the hour. Everyone go vote tot.com/polls on our holiday greetings poll. We'll have the results after a short break. If you're watching on the members app or on YouTube or on Twitch, we got a lot of news, including the throwing away of our holiday trash. So don't go anywhere. We'll be gone for a few, but then Brett and I will be back. See you in a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.